you have your Bibles this morning, we should like to call your attention, first of all, to 1 Kings 18, and I'm going to be reading verses 20 through 26, verses 36 through 38. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. For those of us that wasn't able to make Sunday school this morning, this was our Sunday school lesson this morning, so we're going to bring you up to par. In the Word of God, as we look in 1 Kings, and also I'd like to say this morning that this is our day of celebration of Holy Communion, where we just glorify and remember the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why I asked them to be sure this morning that we burn our candles, because of the simple fact that when we do things in memory, we always sort of light a candle. And we light a candle for everybody but Jesus. So I thought it's about time that we start lighting the candle for the Lord. Hallelujah. We must let our light so shine before men that somebody might see God's good works in our lives. 1 Kings 18, beginning at verse 20. Down through 24. I'm sorry, I said 26, but I'm going to stop at 24. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long have ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Supporting scripture this morning coming from Gospel according to St. Luke, that you've already heard in your hearing, Luke 13 and 16. John answering said, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah, Jesus. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. If we are to use a thought or a subject this morning, I'd like to speak to you this morning from the thought, God don't need no matches. He's fire all by himself. Hallelujah, Jesus. God don't need no matches. He's fire all by himself. Somebody know the Lord as their help this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody know the Lord as their help this morning. Somebody said, all of my help comes from the Lord. So I know the Lord is my help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When nobody else can help you, God can help you this morning. Nobody else want to be bothered with you, God can help you this morning. And I believe somebody in here loved the Lord this morning. I believe somebody come to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. God's a good God. And I believe that the Lord is worthy to be praised. Glory to Jesus. God is an awesome God this morning. And I think that there comes a time in all of our lives we just need to recognize God as God. Be still and know that I'm God. And sometimes you got to sort of come out of your comfort zone. Stop worrying about what they do or what such and such is doing over yonder. And know God for yourself. I know that God is blessing in every one of our households. And every now and then, one of the saints of God will come back to the house of the Lord and declare about the goodness of God and tell the story of what God has done in your life. And as we listen to the testimonies this morning, it brings joy to our heart to know that God is still hearing and answering prayer. God is still a prayer-answering God. Mother Partee, I believe this morning that many, many times you've called on the Lord, and the Lord came to your rescue and reassured you that I am your help. We need to know that this morning for ourselves. Some of us think or act like God owes us something. But ask yourself a question. What in the world could God owe me? He's already given me the life of which I live. Breathe into my nostrils the breath of life, and I became a living soul. And he taught me along in my life that if I ask anything in his name, that he would give it unto me. Anybody in here tried him? Have anybody really tried the Lord? Those things that you thought were impossible to you, those things that you thought were somewhat out of your reach, God sort of put them right there where you could get your hands on it. Glory, hallelujah. We are serving a God this morning that should be praised at all times. Our thought for today: God don't need no matches. He's fire all by himself. That's preaching right there. Because it lets me know that God doesn't need me. God does not need you. He wants you. But he does not need you. The heavens are here, are already happy without all of us. The angels dancing around and singing out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." He's a worthy God. And sometimes we act like we don't know who God is. But there comes a time that somebody ought to love God enough that they would be willing to make a stand for the Lord. We are here this morning by the grace and by the mercies of God that we are blessed once again to be in this place at this particular time. And I feel someone like David when he expressed his joy over being in the house of the Lord, because I can truly say this morning that I'm glad to be in the house of God one more time. Actually, been looking forward to getting back here. We had such a wonderful time on last Sunday. And some of you I see through the week, some of you I don't see. So I get excited about getting back with the saints of God. Now, we had a program last night, and I got a chance to see some people, and I got a chance to be in fellowship, and I even got a chance to stand up here in this spot, but I didn't have time. It wasn't my time to declare the word of God. But don't you know Pastor Adam stirred up the preacher in me last night? I almost lost my cool last night. I've been taught that you don't preach behind a preacher. But where he left it at, I couldn't leave it right there. Every now and then, you got to get your little bit. Don't you know you are not coming here just thinking that whatever I say goes? You ought to have something down on the inside of you. And if you read and study to show yourself approved, then when you hear the truth will make you free. And when you know that you're free, you don't mind telling the Lord, thank you. Now, I've been cute long enough. Let me loosen up. I like for everything to be in order. But when it comes time to serving God, you got to get out of order. Sometimes you got to let go of all of that starchiness. You know, some of us so prim and proper, we don't want to shake our head too much because your little do might fall out of place. I want to be as clean as the next man, but there comes a time when I got to open up my mouth for the Lord. My neck begin to scratch. I need some room. I need to be able to let it out. God want me to let it out. He don't want me to worry about a collar bar right now. I can wear a collar bar after I get through preaching. I just wore it out here so you know I got one and know how to wear it, but there come a time you got to let that go. There's somebody in here on this pew right now so worried about what you got on and what somebody think about what you got on. If you thought you looked good when you left home, then you look good. You don't need confirmation from nobody. If you had any doubt, then you would have stopped before you came out of the door and went back and regrouped. Too many of us are looking for approval from a man or a woman that's walking on two legs just like you walking on, that don't have a heaven or a hell to carry you to. So why are you being all out of shape about what somebody think about you? Do you not know who you are? Jeremiah says, like fire, shut up in my bones. Every now and then, that fire ought to get to burning. The man of God said last night, if you heat up, then you get rid of that snake that might be beside you. Yeah, as long as you stay cool and calm, the snake got a hiding place. You got to build up some heat. And when it get too hot, the snake can't stand it. Snake got to get up and recognize it's too hot in here for me. That's the way your walk with God ought to be. You ought to be so hot for the Lord that every time the devil try to touch you, devil ought to draw his hand back and say, I'm hot, but I'm not that hot. Did anybody ever run in and say, hot? We got so many folk in here think it's all about them. You're going to tiptoe through some tulips. But there's going to be a dungeon there waiting on you. Last night, what stirred me so that the man of God said, God will take care of you. You know what? I ain't got no more sense than believe that, John. I believe this morning with all of my heart that God will take care of us. I believe that if you didn't have $1 bill, that God still has a way of sending you a loaf of bread, sending you a dozen of eggs. And if you're very careful, God might even send a few sausages or a few pieces of bacon in there. The Bible said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So when I need, I know God will take care of me. God's been so good to me. Every night it just stirs up down on the inside. I get anxious about the love that I got for Jesus. Every now and then you ought to get excited about God. You ought to get excited about doing something because God is such a mighty good God. And then you got to know that you can't let negative thinking people hinder you from getting your blessing. For in the midst of all that you're going through, the hard times and the unpredictable times, despite the negative things and the evil forces that are at work against you, what God has for me. Glory, I believe it's for me. Now, you might be a little jealous. Don't want me to have it, Charles. But God gonna give it to me anyhow. Glory, hallelujah. Don't you know you got some folk that say they love you, that don't think nothing about you? You got some folk this morning that say, I'll be with you. I'll go with you all the way to the end. But then when you get out there, you look around and you're all by yourself. But isn't it a joy to know that as long as you got Jesus, oh Lord, you don't walk alone when you got the Lord, because God goes with you every step of the way. Oh, I'm feeling a little good this morning. It didn't take up much to wake up what I already had. You ought to come in with something. Don't look for me to bring it. I brought mine, but you ought to bring something for yourself. I wonder this morning, anybody bring any fire? Oh, glory. Anybody in Fire Chapel bring any fire? Let God know how grateful you are to be counted amongst the living. Let God know this morning that you're glad about the fact that he looked beyond your fault and bless your nasty soul. Oh, somebody ought to dance with me right now. Glory, glory. God don't need no matches. He's fire all by himself. See, there y'all go. We going there in a minute. When we consider this theme this morning. Glory. You ever felt something that just... That's what I'm feeling. God don't need no matches. He's fire all by himself. Now this makes us realize the incomprehensible power of God. Fire. The flame, the heat, the light of combustion. Something burning. In the Bible, fire often appears as a symbol of God's presence and power. Fire is a source of heat and light. Fire is often pictured in the Bible as God's agent to purify and eliminate. We know that from a childhood we were taught about the dangers of fire. We were forbidden to play with matches. And I'm sure that even today we are still teaching and training our children not to play with matches. Matches start fires, and fires destroys and consumes, and we, the children of God, continue to thank God for his promise. For God promised that he would never destroy the world again with water. And that's why every time we see the rainbow, every time we are reminded that God has made us a promise that I'll never destroy the world with water, but he said the next time it'll be with fire. Are you aware that there will be a next time? Are you aware that we are living in some dangerous times even now because Jesus is soon to come? And when he comes, he's coming looking for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. In other words, the church needs to be in order. I'm not talking about how we structure our order of service in the Files Chapel Baptist Church. But I'm talking about that church that lies within your heart. You better get your house in order. It's been said that everything God made was good. Even fire, as devastating as it could be, it is good because we need it. We need fire in order to have the lights that we have. We need fire in order to prepare the food that we eat. There are so many things that we find that we take for granted that we need that comes from God. Now, in order for us to start a fire, we need something to burn. You can't have a fire without something that burns. And a lot of times we'll find ourselves looking for something to make a fire. We look, and as we look here, we find that when it comes to making a fire, we've heard of those that rub two sticks together until you get enough friction to start a spark or a flame. We've heard that you can even scrape rocks together and get a spark that will start a flame. I remember as a child how sometimes we would take a magnifying glass and put it just so in the sun. And if you leave it in one spot long enough, that it will start a flame. We have matches and lighters and kerosene that we put on our wood and on our coal to enhance the flame. We have charcoal. Some of us use that fluid to enhance the flame. I don't like lighter fluid. Because sometimes when you use that lighter fluid, I taste that in my burger. I don't want no fluid burger. I want a hamburger. So I thank God that they come up with that instant light. Where you can throw the coals in there and put a match or some kind of fire to it, and you got some hot coals for long. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't you, Brother Woods? The cookout man. We got folk right here in our midst that knows what it is to start a fire. But we got to understand this morning that when we get ready to start a fire, we cannot start a fire without some type of method of a flame. So when we think of the term matches, you know, matches go back a long way before we were so advanced and had the lighters and these little fancy things here. Anybody thank God for these? How many times have you burnt your hand trying to light a candle with a match? But there came along many other different things that we are able to use to start a flame. Don't you know that when we talk about a flame, I can't even get this one to work. That fire, I got sense enough to know that it'll burn. That fire that you see there, that's a man-made fire that was actually made out of God-made materials. Every match that you use, you didn't make that match all by yourself. Everything that we got was started when God created something, and we took our intellect and took something and made something else out of it for our usage. But we must go all the way back to where everything come from, and everything we got comes from the Lord. Don't you know that there comes a time that you need to understand that you got to trust God in all that you do? There's always been somebody that was willing to stand up for God and to share the good news. Telling people about Jesus and how the Lord would make a way out of no way. But about Jesus. Jesus was that one that was prophesied about many, many years before he ever came on the scene. We understand this morning when we look here in the Word of God. There was a man by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Man of God talked about them vipers last night. And he began to let us know that there are some snakes walking on two legs. Be careful about the one that might be sitting beside you this morning. Might be a viper in the house. Might be an old snake that's trying to crawl around and do some dirt. Better understand that a snake will get you if you let him. The Bible says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. and began not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up the children of Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What kind of fruit are you bearing this morning? You need to ask yourself that. If you don't feel like you got good fruit, you're in jeopardy of being burned. The people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered and said unto them, he that have two coats, let him impart to him that have none. And let him that have meat, let him do likewise. In other words, if you got more than you need, share with somebody that don't have. Then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. And the soldier likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? He said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. We got some complaining folk that's always complaining about this, that, and the other. But as the people were in expectation, and the men mused in their hearts of John whether he was Christ or not, John the Baptist answered them and said unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. But one mightier than I cometh, whose latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In other words, he was talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He began to let him know that I paved the way for the Lord. And he wanted them to understand that I am not the Christ. But he is soon to come. Whereas John had only baptized with water, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Won't be many weeks before we'll be baptizing some folk in here. And I'll baptize them in the water in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But in order for them to have the Holy Ghost and fire, that has to come from on high. Don't forget that we got to have somebody that is willing to stand for what is right. The key is that you got to be a believer and totally trust in the God that you serve. You got to know him as the only one true living God. So many of us have other gods and we try to say that we love God, but we don't act like we know God. We cannot continue to straddle the fence. As Elijah stated in this text this morning when he asked, how long would you be caught between two different opinions? If God be your God, then serve God. But if Baal is your God, then you serve him. Somebody got to make up their mind this morning who they're going to serve and who they're going to give alliance to. You got to understand that whoever you believe in, those are the ones that you're going to give alliance to. Now we find this morning that there was a prophet by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a man that loved God with all of his heart. Elijah was under the rule of a king by Ahab. And the Bible says when Ahab sent unto the children of Israel, he gathered the prophets together and told them to come to Mount Carmel. When they got to Mount Carmel, Elijah came unto the people. Elijah said, I got to make a stand for the Lord thy God. I got to tell somebody this morning that God is tired. God is tired of you being caught between two opinions. You say you love God, but you serve the devil. You say you're a child of God, but the thing that come out of your mouth, you wouldn't think that you know the Lord thy God. He began to ask them, how long are you going to go through this? Then he began to tell them, he said, King Ahab, I want you to send your prophets. In other words, he had these prophets to come down, and when we realized that there were 450 prophets that came to the mount called Mount Carmel. When they got to Mount Carmel, they met a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah stood there and he began to talk to them. He began to tell them that I am a prophet of the Almighty God. He said, here I stand all by myself. I'm the only prophet that is left alone to talk for the Lord thy God. But I'll stand for God if I got to stand all by myself. Now here is 450 other men. But what I want you to do this morning, I want you to bring me two bullocks. In other words, bring two bulls. And you take one bull and you build them an altar. You lay a bull on the altar and put the wood down under. But don't put no fire under there. Give me the other bull and I'll put it on my altar, and I won't put any fire there. And you call on your God, and I'll call on my God. And whichever God come down by fire, I'll tell you that he is the true living God. So when I look here in the word of God, I find that Elijah began to talk to the Lord. When we look here in the word of God, the Bible says that these pagan gods, these old false prophets, began to talk to the Lord. But they were talking to some other God. They were talking to the gods of Baal. And they cried from the morning all the way to the 3 o'clock hour, trying to get their God to come down. When they did all that they knew how to do, and they looked there at the altar, there had been no fire there. They got a little disturbed down on the inside. And the Bible says that when it came to pass, that Elijah mocked them. At noontime, I see Elijah saying, I hear you praying. I hear you calling your God, but I don't see nothing happening. Call on your God. Tell your God to come on in. Tell your God to do this thing. You got the bull. You got the altar. But where is the fire? And it came to pass that as they journeyed there, they got a little weary. And they cried aloud, began to cut themselves in the manner with knives and with latches. And the blood began to gush out. Don't you know when you call on the Lord and God does not come, it began to make you wonder, what have I done that the Lord don't want to hear me? But I'm glad that I know a prophet by the name of Elijah. For Elijah, he stood right there. He said, you done had your time, but now let me have a shot. Let me talk to my God. And it came to pass that he came to the Lord. And what I want you to know, that Elijah, he wanted to make it difficult. So he took his bull and he put it on the altar. But first of all, he realized, I got to repair the altar so it'll be of good use. I don't want to go to God in a house that's all messed up. So he repaired the altar. He put the bull on the altar. He then told somebody, bring me some water and pour it over the bull. Pour it over the altar. They tell me that there was a trench all around the altar. So when they dug the trench around the altar, and he built the altar of 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm glad that I know God for myself. But Elijah put all his trust in the Lord. Elijah began to talk to God. Elijah, the prophet of God, said, Oh Lord, it's time for the evening sacrifice. Elijah said, Lord God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, the God of Israel, I want you to know this day, I did what you told me to do. I went out there and I told the people that it's time for you to stop being divided. So Lord, I need you to hear my humble cry. I need you to send fire down. And the Bible says that immediately the fire of the Lord fell down, consumed the burnt sacrifice, consumed up the wood, consumed up the stones, consumed the dust, licked up the water. And I found out that God don't need no magic, but he's fire all by himself. I found out that God can send somebody that'll stand in the gap, call on the name of the Lord, and said, oh Lord, I come to thee. Oh Lord, I pray to thee. I need you to come and see about me. I need the fire of the Lord. Holy Ghost fire. I've been baptized in the water, but I'm glad I got another baptism. I got baptized with the Holy Ghost, and fire came upon my body down on the inside. I got a fire that's turning my will. I said that Jeremiah said, it's like a fire burning up in my bone. This word I got, I can't hold it. I gotta tell somebody that God don't need our matches. God don't need our fancy lighters. But God can send fire down from heaven. And when the fire come down, it'll consume everything that's evil, everything that's out of the will of God. You need to know this morning that God don't need fire. He don't need your matches, because he's fire all by himself. God don't need the ministers of God, because he's God all by himself. God does not need us to get in glory, but he wants us there. For he said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What Elijah is saying to us today is that somebody need to stand up for God. Even if you feel like you're standing by yourself, stand up for God. But what you got to understand is that Elijah wanted them to know that if you trust God, God will come to your rescue. Elijah made it so difficult. Hallelujah, Jesus. As we were talking about it in Sunday school, and I began to go back to when I was a small child, and we made wood, and we took that wood to make a fire. But there was always somebody. I can remember a time we had a wood house. Then I can remember a time we didn't have a wood house. So when we didn't have a wood house, it was our duty to make sure that enough wood was already in the house so that if it rained on the outside, our wood wouldn't get wet and we'd be able to make a fire. Those of us that know anything about making a fire know you can't make a fire with wet wood. But when you look at the power of God, God had the man of God not only to drench it one time, but he had him to drench it down three times. To the point to the whole trench was filled with water. And red wood, a wet animal, could not stand against the power of a mighty God. For the God that Elijah served, Elijah just called on the name of the Lord and reminded him that he needed him. And immediately, the fire came down from heaven and consumed up the whole burnt sacrifice. And then the Bible says, all of the people, when they saw it, they fell on their faces. And they began to say, the Lord, he is the God. Not a God, but he is the God. The Lord, he is God. So if you need something, go to the Lord, for he is the God. That does not need matches, but he's fire. Woo! All by himself. Keep your matches in your pocket.